Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm singing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Well, welcome to another Parents Culture Parents Network show. I'm your host, M.A. Scott, and as always, trying to promise you another wonderful show. You know, we always like to make sure that we get the information out to parents around the country, parents that have children that are involved in sports. And when I mean involved in sports, that can be from the youngest age of tiny tot sports, whatever that sport may be, all the way through to the older young men and young ladies playing professionally. You know, because we're going to cover the whole entire gamut. We're going to talk about everything from the youngest age all the way out through to our older athletes. And you may not hear me refer to them as student athletes because I don't like to use that term. And I want to give you a little history on that term and reason why I choose not to use that term. Very simple, very easy, very plain. That term came about around about 1950 when the first president of the NCAA put that term in place in order to avoid a lawsuit. Because at the time a young man had, and I can't recall his name right off the bat, but a young man had broke his neck in a football game, of course. Family threatened to sue, you know, because the NCAA didn't want to cover medical bills, so on and so forth. Family threatened to do what they needed to do. So the conversation came out, you know, when it hit, you know, the courts and everybody else, folks that was given the impression that they may have been concerned. When it hit, you know, of course, what we looked at was a situation where, you know, the young man was said, well, it was said, well, he's not a, he's not an employee. So as a result of him not being an employee, time, it left the situation where, him not being an employee, then the family was unable to sue because he was classified as a student athlete. Now, had he just been an athlete, you know, following along the guidelines and that of our professional sports, then he would have had the grounds and the rights to sue. But since he was falling under the umbrella of being a student athlete, then the NCAA found it fit to say that he has no grounds and no rights to sue. And along with the NCAA finding it fit to deny him that at that time, and along with the court system, they found it to say that the young man had no grounds or no rights to claim suit. So as a result, the opportunity was missed for the young man to file suit, and the story goes on. So I said that goes back to the age and stages of 1950 during the first president of the NCAA, Well, folks, what I want to talk about this evening, I want to talk about I want to talk about our children in the sporting industry. And I hope my little write-up on my show page was effective, or at least caught your attention to say, that may be something of interest, or that may be a conversation I may want to listen to, or I may want to invite others on board to listen to. But what I want to talk about is our sports industry and athletic shoes. And what I mean by athletic shoes, we all know we're talking about sneakers, and how that very same sports industry, or that very same organization, and we're talking about our college and high school and professional level sports. We're talking about each one of them and how those sports have been incorporated sneakers into their programs. Now, in some cases, we can look at it as being a plus because, you know, a number of young men have made up and secured very promising futures based upon that. And in some cases, if you really and truly look at the bigger picture and look at it from a different perspective, you may see something that gives you the impression that there's some corruption going on there. And what I mean by some corruption going on there, there's some scrupulous things going on behind the scenes that our children have got caught up into. So, let's talk about the sporting industry and one of its major components, sneakers. And, of course, when we talk about sneakers, we have to put emphasis and highlight on the three major brands or four major brands that's out there. And although we talk about the four major brands that's out there, I would like to even go one step further and talk about how, basically Reebok has been consumed by Adidas, and they no longer really and truly exist. So they're not even really a player in this conversation. So on that note, we're talking about Nike, we're talking about Adidas, and we're talking about Under Armour. Now, of course, we know that two out of the three has been around for quite some time. Although, you know, a lot of us like to consider or think about or say that Nike has been around the longest or whatever, I believe Adidas has probably been around a little bit longer than the Nike brand. And Adidas has more of a global footprint than Nike. But what I want to talk about today is, I don't know if you had the opportunity to see the ESPN 30 for 30 program that came on probably about a week or two ago. And it was a very interesting program. And I say that because the program focused around a gentleman by the name of Sonny Vaccaro, and I believe I'm pronouncing the name correctly. But Sonny was the gentleman that introduced Michael Jordan to Nike. And the rest is history, as they would say. But I would say there's more things incorporated into that whole format and that whole introduction than what we have believed to be over the years. Well, you know, and looking at 30 for 30, it brought out some very interesting points. And, you know, as I listened to it, it just kind of confirmed some of the things that I have always thought about the sporting industry and how our young men are tied up into this sneaker game. And as I look at that and as I think about that, to this day, I still say that something needs to be done about it. Something really and truly needs to be done about it. And I think we as parents need to be the ones that start the ball rolling. Because in many cases, many of this conversation is based around someone coming into our neighborhood and taking out our most valuable commodity, and from there using it to their greater good and generating profit that, you know, many of us can only imagine that we had access to. Now, if you sit back and say that's justified, or if you sit back and say that, you know, our young men are also making money off it, I understand that. But if you're talking about our young men at the professional level, okay, I understand that. But what happens to our young men? And I'm just simply focusing on our young men right now, parents, because of the simple fact that this illness or this ilk hovers over the heads of our young men. And we're talking about in the basketball, football arenas, and every now and then branches out to some of the other sports as well. But this ilk hovers over the heads of our young men, and, you know, that there's something that needs to be said about it. You know, I'm going to share later on in the broadcast, I'm going to share some information as far as some numbers and some figures that I came across over the last couple weeks or so. You know, shortly, actually, I seen this article before I seen the 30 for 30 show. So I'm going to share that information with you, and hopefully in sharing that information with you, then many of you can chime in on the conversation. We greatly appreciate you chiming in on the conversation at any time. You can always reach us at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. Chime in on the conversation. We'd love to hear from you, and looking forward to seeing what you have to say on this topic. But on that note, you know, I have not followed my standard path this morning or this evening and playing my man, Mr. Keith Wright. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Keith, let him do his little piece, and then we're going to go from there. Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part, with this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
As always, folks, that's my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and he said he's making smart cool. And I think that is the highlight piece or words to that entire piece that he has put together for us. I call that little piece at College Experience. Again, it was written and performed by Keith Wright. Keith is a graduate of University of Harvard, played his college ball at the University of Harvard as well, and has moved on to do bigger and better things in life. We'll have to see if we can get Keith to come back on here real soon and just share some, you know, what is he doing now? And, you know, where are you at now and what are you doing with your life right now? So as time goes on, folks, hopefully I'll bring back a number of young men. If you had the opportunity to check out our show last week, we had the opportunity to have a number of AAU coaches on with us, and these young men, they were on a mission. And very simply put and very plainly put, you know, these guys came on and shared with us why they believe that AAU program is still a valuable program. And on that note, I would have to agree with them. So, you know, we're talking about sports and the sneaker industry. So, again, if you want to chime in on the conversation, you can always reach us at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. Well, I'm going to give you some information that I picked up out of an article. An article was written and appeared in the Washington Post some time ago. And I'm reading it out of another piece of correspondence that's the affiliate of the Washington Post. And the article is dated 3/22/15. So that this isn't an old article, or I'm not giving you some ancient information. I'm giving you some information that is very relevant, very recent, and information that should be a little wake-up call. Again, this is based around the conversation, not the conversation, but based around watching the 30 for 30 Soul Man. And if you get a chance, go to YouTube and check out Soul Man. If you got, you know, about an hour and a half, you know, sit around with your son. And be interesting to see and hear later on. Parents, you know, this could be a little homework assignment for you. But it will be interesting to see and hear later on what your child thought about that little documentary, Soul Man, and how much conversation did you have on it? Because in listening to that documentary breaks some things down and brings it into proper perspective. And what I mean by that is it talks about how the Michael Jordan phenomenon was created. And what I say by Michael Jordan phenomenon, simply put, how they were able to use that young man's marketing ability, maximize it, add a shoe line attached to his name, and now create this big aura, this big phenomenon around him in order to continue to sell their products. That's it. Because along the same year that Jordan was being considered, Olajuwon was in play, Stockton was in play, and Barkley was in play as well. But for whatever reason, and not to say that Jordan was the best out of that entire group, but for whatever reason, Jordan was at the time selected. All emphasis was put on him. And that may simply be because he was the youngest out of that group, and he may have had a more of a financial need than the other ones coming out of that group. Understand how that goes. So if I draw a young man out of a at-risk community, understanding his financial situation just by watching him over the course of time, I draw that young man. I realize that if I'm able to guarantee that young man X amount of level of success, or what he believes to be success, and he continues to perform at the level that he's performing, and I draw the hype around him, I market him like I market no one else. Anything that he touches along the lines of the game of basketball is unstoppable. Now, is that to really and truly say that that young man is the best player ever, which many of us have bought on the hype to believe that Jordan is the best player? No, Kobe's better than Jordan. No, Westbrook comes in there somewhere. No, LeBron is better than him. No, KD comes in. Gentlemen, as long as they can continue to force you to, parents, as long as you continue to believe that one of these young men is better than the next one coming along, then they will constantly have that brainwash power over you. I hate to put it so bluntly and so plainly. They will constantly have their brainwash power over you in their marketing ploy. Because as the Jordan moves on, as the LeBron moves on, they start building on another young man. Prime example, think about early in the playoffs this year. They were starting to work with the conversation around Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, the young man from Kentucky, a.k.a. the Unibrow. Anthony Davis, they were starting to build conversation around him. Although he was taking on a heavy load when they were playing, or they were slated to play the Golden State Warriors, they were starting to build a conversation around him. And if given the right amount of time, they will continue to build that conversation, and then building that conversation, make that young man more marketable, more appealing, add a little bit more hype to anytime he's being seen, because we haven't even started to see him on any commercials or any major endorsements yet. Yet. The time is coming. If they want to continue to build on this phenomenon that we have the best player ever, then the next best player, then the next best player, why? Because they want to continue to sell these shoes. Because if I can take the best player ever and I can put a pair of shoes on his feet, a pair of shoes that cost anywhere from $5 to $10 to make, put them on his feet, I could sell those shoes for X amount of dollars over that price. Because kids want to be like, and they came out and awesome, awesome campaign slogan that they came out. I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. Do Mike on TV with the Looney Tunes characters. And they build this whole phenomenon around Mike. Built up the hype around him. And when they got done with that level and they wanted to filter in some more young guys, they said, oh, well, we're going to come out with the Jordan brand, so we're going to separate this brand because this is the elite brand. And we're going to take the price tag up. And we're going to come out with this elite brand, but we're also going to have Nike because we're going to filter in some of the other younger guys that's coming along. And as time goes on, if Jordan starts not to pan out, the Jordan brand doesn't take off the way we want it to take off, then we can start building on the next young man that we got coming along. Whether or not it's LeBron, whether or not it's the Kevin Durant, whether or not it's Russell Westbrook, whether or not it's Anthony Davis, whether or not it's Steph Curry, whether or not Carmelo Anthony, whoever, whether or not it's one of them young men. They start building that hype around them. They start building up that phenomenon around them. And guess what? Our kids are going out there wanting these sneakers, wanting these shoes to put on their feet because they believe they have something that is. Give us a call this evening at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. As soon as I get my eyeballs on my face here, I got some information that, like I said, I pulled out of the Washington Post that I would like to share with you. And, you know, this information, again, was printed here in a local newspaper in my area, March 22nd, 2015. And it talks about how Adidas has decided to forego or not renew their contract with the National Basketball Association. And, you know, you may say, well, that's pretty big or that's huge or that's something of interest. Well, you know, although they had that contract with the National Basketball Association, that contract was only to allow them to put their brand and logo on the warm-up outfits. Their brand and logo wasn't even on the actual uniforms that the individuals wore. And as far as the footwear for the individuals, you know, had various contracts with other sneaker industries, the Under Armour and the Nike, to continue the footwear side of things. But Adidas decided not to continue on with the contract. And I believe this contract will end in 2017. It expires in 2017. And this is after an 11-year contract, which started in 2006. It will now end in 2017. But by the time 2017 rolls around, which is not too far away, it's probably right around the corner, no telling what may be going on. As far as the uniforms are concerned. And the contract, let me share these numbers here with you. This contract was for $400 million. $400 million. Where do I get that number from? It says, talking about Adidas. The German sportswear giant Adidas said this week, and this was on the 22nd, the week of the 22nd, it wasn't going to renew its $400 million deal as the official outfitter of the National Basketball Association when the 11-year contract expires in 2017. The 11-year contract. So, you know, of course, 2017 and whoever else is going to jump on that bandwagon is preparing for the next ride, whether or not it's the Nike brand or whether or not it's the Under Armour brand. And Under Armour is slowly catching up with Nike. You know, it goes on to talk about in the United States, and I'm reading bits and pieces from this article, folks, so I want to share this article with you. And let me give you the name of this article, just in case you want to go back and look it up online or something, just to check it out. And again, it initially came out of the Washington Post. Gentleman by the name of Drew Harwell put this piece together. And, you know, I may even try to reach out to Drew and see if he would come on and share some of his insights in putting this great piece together. It says Adidas chose not to renew its NBA contract, leaves open lanes for competition, Nike and Under Armour. Because remember earlier on I told you that Nike and Under Armour are two major players out there. You know, we no longer have to deal with or even see Reebok in the market because Reebok was consumed some time ago by Adidas. So they fall under the Adidas umbrella. Again, if you want to chime in on the conversation, you can reach us at 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. I'm talking about the sneaker industry and how its sex appeal has taken over the minds of our young folks in our community. And, you know, I came across an article that was initially posted in the Washington Post, and then here recently they played a piece on ESPN 30 for 30 where a gentleman by the name of Sonny Vaccaro talked about how he, along with his team and his minions and his little fellas that worked side by side with him, how these gentlemen were able to create such an aura around these athletes and give our young folks the impression that these guys are bigger than life. You know, it's a marketing strategy, folks. It's a marketing ploy that, and you know, that's just like you walking down the street and you drive by, you're driving down the street and you go by a big old billboard that has, you know, some Kentucky Fried Chicken on a billboard or a billboard that has, you know, some other food item on the billboard, you know. You may see that it subliminally, it causes you to start thinking, man, when was the last time did I eat? I may need to stop and get me something to eat, especially if you pass by a number of them, or right shortly after you pass by that billboard, you turned around and you heard a conversation on your radio, or the radio was just talking about you know, the McDonald's little jingle or one of these other KFC and Live Moss, one of these other little jingles. So you're thinking about food subliminally. These thoughts are being implanted into your head. You're thinking about food. As a result, you turn around, what you going to do? You don't want to go out there and get you want to go out there and get you something to eat. Same thing happens when we talk about this sneaker industry, folks. If you're constantly being told that these guys are able to shoot these jump shots or able to dunk the ball the way they're able to dunk the ball because they're wearing this certain brand name shoe, guess what our little kids are going to want to do? Guess what my little son wants to do? Guess what your little son wants to do? Guess what your little grandson wants? He wants a pair of those very same shoes. For those of you who've been around long enough, you may have heard of PF Flyers. Run higher and jump faster. That was the hype that was built around them. Didn't have the marketing savvy that we see today. They don't have the access to social media and the World Wide Web, things that we see today that's constantly being pumped in our face. So if you didn't catch that advertisement on television or heard that little jingle on the radio, then you may have missed out on it. But in today's society, far too often, we can't avoid it. We can't avoid it. Not unless we just totally disconnect ourselves from the society in which we live in. Because, you know, and I find this funny, and I'm not going to sidetrack too much and get off the topic, but I find this to be real funny. You got a situation where you're watching a television show. And on that television show, all of a sudden, the two heroes are drinking a Mountain Dew. Do you recall the time period? And you may not be quite in that age range. At one point in time, you would never see a commercialized item such as a Mountain Dew or a particular brand name object on the TV. Any objects or any items that actors were using, they were normally generic. In a lot of cases, they came out with their own name. They called everything Acme. A-C-M-E, Acme. Even the Road Runner and the Coyote, time went on. They started implanting little logos here and using little phrases and little things like that. And how does all that tie into the sneaker industry? Well, it ties into the sneaker industry, folks, simply based around the way they're able to market things today. Folks, you know, I'm having this conversation, and I wish I could get somebody to join in on the conversation with me. But I'm having this conversation, and I picked up a book here recently. And I'm going to try not to sidetrack too much. I want to go back to my original topic. But I picked up a book here recently called Brainwash. Brainwash. It's by a brother by the name of Thomas Burrell, Tom Burrell. And Tom Burrell claimed to fame is at one point in time, he ran a marketing and advertising company, one of the biggest at some point in time in the country. And in Tom's book, he highlights a whole lot of things. Marketing and advertisement is such a dangerous tool if used properly. If used properly. And the worst part about it, they are currently able to flood you with this information. Every time you turn around, the information is in your face. You know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it wasn't as obvious. It wasn't as evident. We weren't as conscious of it. But now, we can't avoid it. Again, we will have to totally disconnect ourselves. And I don't think too many of us are prepared to do that because for whatever reason, we're not prepared to live in a bubble. But going back to how, you know, this marketing tool has taken over our community with the use of these sneakers. You know, again, if I tell you that this young man is able to run faster, jump higher, you know, leap single buildings in a small bound, you know, leap a building in a single bound, whatever. If I'm able to tell you that and you see it and it's on TV and you believe it, guess what? You want to try it? And when you try it, it may not work the way you want it to work. But they have been able to, this sneaker industry has been able to infiltrate our community, reach into our community, and draw our most valuable commodity. That most valuable commodity is our young men, using our young men for their personal gain. It has gotten so bad, and if you again, and I refer back to that 30 for 30 show, and hopefully I'll have some audio excerpts from it next week. But if you get a chance to check out that 30 for 30 show, you look at after they went after Jordan, and Jordan got all connected to Nike, and he was all bought in, and Nike was on a roll, and they were making their billions and billions and billions of dollars. The next hype was, oh, well, we got this college kid. How are we going to do it, Adidas? Nike was able to pull in this young man coming out of college going into the draft. How are we going to be able to do it? So what was their ploy? What was their next move? Their next move, under the direction of, again, Sonny V, was to go after a high school kid. A high school kid that had ambitions to go on into the NBA straight out of high school. Was this kid on anybody's radar? Was this kid the next best thing coming? No. But if that kid's able to walk in the door, coming out of high school, basically barely being drafted, if they were able to walk in the door with a guaranteed contract by one of these big-name sneaker companies, do you think some team would pick him up? He's marketable. And being marketable put butts in seats. There's something out there that's called the Q rating. And oftentimes many of our young athletes don't even know what their own Q rating is. It tells how marketable you are. If you have 5,000 followers on Twitter and you have 5,000 or barely have 1,000 on Facebook or some other social media outlet, you're not too marketable in the eyes of those that are trying to generate a dollar off your back. Now, if you're talking a million followers and you have created several Facebook accounts and each one of those accounts have at least 5,000 followers, oh, you marketable. You marketable. We realize that we can make a whole lot of money off your back. We're going to use you for what it is worth. We're going to use you like an old sponge till it just starts deteriorating. I hate to say it and look at it that way, folks, but that is the truth. Because now they're going after our high school kids. I just attended an event this weekend. The kids are outfitted in their Nikes. The kids are outfitted in their Adidas. The kids are outfitted in their Under Armour shoes. I'm watching teams come in the building, and I'm talking about these kids couldn't have been no more than early high school, middle school kids. These young men are outfitted like professional athletes. I'm talking about the matching book bags, the socks, the shoes, of course the uniforms, the shoot-around shirts, sweatsuits. Why is it that AAU Summer League coach can maintain a working budget of $600,000 a year, and he's running a nonprofit organization? Help me understand that. Help me understand, how is that so? Okay, they're having bake sales every day. They're washing cars all day long, every day. What are they doing? The sneaker companies are behind them. The sneaker companies are in bed with these coaches, and these coaches are in bed with these sneaker companies. And they're getting paid off. You know, I listened to a little piece in the 30 again while I'm listening to young man's name. Oh, man. Tracy McGrady. I'm listening to Tracy McGrady talk about how his high school coach, he was okay with his high school coach getting paid off for getting him into the league or getting him hooked up with a certain sneaker company and getting him that sponsorship and them endorsements. So as a result, sneaker company was able to guarantee, hey, coach, you get this young man for us, we'll give you an additional $10,000 a year for the next 10 years. So there's some coaches that's on the payoff. And we're talking high school coaches. Again, check out this 30 for 30 Soul Man. Soul Man. I'm going to have some excerpts for you next week. I'm going to work very hard this week and trying to pull together some nice little clips. And you can hear it straight from the mouth of Sonny McCall. You can hear it straight from the mouth of Tracy McGrady and others on how this game is being played. Well, folks, I was hoping to have some callers to call in this evening. You know, it's been a interesting week, and as time goes on, you know, our kids are moving forward into the AAU season and all the different events that's going on. Again, parents, I advise you, if your child is playing AAU sports and he is trying to pursue an athletic scholarship, I'll give you a couple little tidbits here in a minute as soon as I come back from this next commercial.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Jim Boeheim of Ida Gaines Syracuse is under investigation. He is such a cheater, just like with Bernie Fine.
You, of course, mean the Bernie Fine situation where the accusations turned out to be false.
Yes, but this CBS sports story is bad.
Do they have any specific allegations in the story?
Nope, but they see Syracuse is breaking every rule in the manual.
Who says?
A person who does not want to be identified.
Someone rock solid. How bad can it be? North Carolina invented a course for its basketball players to take and was not punished.
But has a sexual assault allegation that the university covered up.
If they covered it up, how do you know about it?
Because they avoided punishment because they were basketball players.
So the fact that a Graham Just and Syracuse's Judicial Review Board both said the players were innocent just screams cover up.
Syracuse is a dirty program.
Dirty enough to buy Anthony Davis. That is right, they had a commitment from Anthony Davis, then he chose Kentucky mysteriously. but Syracuse cheats. You are bitter. Are you some conspiracy theorist? Two stories break in two consecutive years 2 days before the NCAA tournament. I am sure that happens to everybody.
You are a hater.
Yes, I am a hater of crappy journalism.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, folks, we're back. We're back, and hopefully I've said something that caught your attention and made you think just a little bit. Made you think just a little bit. You know, I always try to give you some information from the parents' perspective and make sure that you understand what you're getting into as you and your children move forward in the sporting industry. Because this game is not the game being played that you thought you were playing some years ago in the school parking and the school playground. This game has turned into altogether different outfit. And you have a whole lot of players out there in this game. And I'm not talking about just the athletes out on the field or on the court. I'm talking about a whole lot of quite a few players that's up in age and that's been around for a good little minute. But I want to share some tips with you if your child's out there playing AAU sports currently. Well, the first tip I want to share with you is if your child's playing, know and understand the recruiting schedule. Know and understand the recruiting schedule for your child. What do I mean by that? For your child's sport, know when the coaches are able to be out to evaluate your child or there is actually a live, active recruiting period. A dead period, quiet period is not the time that you want to send your child out there to be live and engaged in any activities during that time period. Know the recruiting schedule. If your child is out there and he or she is involved and these summer activities. Hey, there's nothing wrong with sending a copy of that schedule that your coach has kindly gave you, put together for you, show you what you're going to be doing over the next couple months during the summer play, sending that out to a few schools. Hey, coach, I'm interested in the program, and I'll be at this event on this day, or here's my summer schedule. Coaches love to see that because when they want to get out and check out some kids, they know where to go. Oh, this event. Oh, I'll be at this event anyway because I want to see this kid. But while I'm here, let me go on over here and check this kid out. Folks, make it easy for him. Make it easy for him to see you and you to see your, well, excuse me, make it easy for him to see your child and you to see him. Now, during these time periods, having a whole lot of conversation is not going to happen. Cordially walk by, speak, hey, coach, how you doing? Good to see you out here. Hope to see you at the next event. And you keep it moving. If he's interested, you'll get a piece of correspondence. If he's seen something that your child did that day, you'll get a piece of correspondence. And once you get that correspondence, you got to follow up, parents. You got to follow up. Because if you don't follow up, you're selling yourself short and you're selling your child short. A few little tips that I just wanted to share with you this evening as we prepare to close up for this evening because we've been having a nice little conversation here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. We'll be back again next Sunday evening, Eastern Standard Time at 9:30 p.m. We'll be back. So, until then, it's been fun. It's been real fun. Help us help you. Because that's what we try to do here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network. So, on that note, folks, you have a great day. And I'll close out with another little piece here. I think I have something from the eligibility coach that I want to share with you for so that we can close this thing out. Now, better yet, let me give you some stuff from NAIA, and then we're going to go ahead and close this show out. So, have a great day.
NAIA Athletic Showcase is a new event for us. We're launching it in Peoria, Illinois in June, I believe June 21st and 22nd. It's an opportunity for high school student athletes to come in and basically show their athletic ability to NAIA coaches. We'll have head coaches in the sports of football, men's and women's soccer, baseball, and softball. And so a student athlete can show up, be able to run through some tests, through some drills in some sports, actually be able to play, and those coaches will be there and decide whether they want to award an athletic scholarship or recruit that student athlete into the future.